It is Tuesday, February 4th. Thank you for tuning in. Menace to Sports, episode 80. Really the countdown, man. 20 episodes to go until our live 100th episode, live from our tailgate at the point on lane before the spring game. Really fired up about it. If those of you that attended the tailgate for the Penn State game, it was blown out. It was awesome. Great feedback. And this one's going to be even better. Got a number of people coming in, and I'm going to ask your help. Braxton Miller is definitely going to stop by. We're trying to partner with him to bring this experience to you guys. Every game, interact with former players, with our show, our staff, really try to make this thing awesome. A new epicenter down on campus for tailgates. I know it's pissing a lot of these local media companies off, and that's why I fucking love it. So check it out. We're going to be, ticket sales will go. We'll launch those here middle of this month. So you have plenty of time. As always, Patreon subscribers get your tickets first and a discount. Also, just side note, Patreon, our giveaway that we did last week, if you haven't reached out yet, there's a couple left. Reach out, message us if you won something. Give us your address and we'll get that shipped out. I know we got most of it shipped out on Friday. A couple more things that are getting shipped out tomorrow. So check that out if you are a subscriber. And if you didn't hear the two episodes ago, make sure you go back and listen. You're paying to support us. You better listen. But really fired up about that 100th episode of the tailgate. Drinks, food, football, live podcast. Like I said, special guests. We're really, really fired up about it. Also, next week, launching a new website, written content, menacetosports.com. If you go to it now, it's a shell. It's not the completed website. But definitely, as I mentioned, if you're interested in joining this movement, reach out to me, Zach at menacetosports.com. Z-A-C-H. Also, if you're interested in advertising sponsorships or partnerships of any form, reach out. One of the fastest growing sports platforms in the country and the top sports platform in Ohio, certainly Central Ohio. Biggest reach, most listeners, and the most loyal fans. You guys are menaces. So I appreciate you guys. We have a great episode for you today. Really, really fired up about it. Braxton Miller is going to join us in studio. One of the best players that I've ever coached, and also a guy that I've stayed in touch with throughout his NFL career, and he's still not, you know, he's still active, still not retired. So excited to chop it up with him a little bit, talk about his time, our experience together, and talk about what he's doing outside of football, because he is different than most athletes that I've coached. He just thinks different, forward thinking. So we'll get to that later. Really excited about that. We're also going to talk about the NFL draft coming up, some recruiting talk, and I want to bust a myth. I really want to bust this myth about stars and five stars and, you know, recruiting services and all that other stuff. So we're going to get to that. Great show planned for you. But anyways, enough of this nonsense. Let's get to the show.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
Or do you do what everybody else in media does, just create some shit and throw it on the wall and see what sticks, which is what I see happening everywhere.
Where are we at in society today? I'm a man. I'm 40.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
All right, here we go. Episode 80. Let's get this started off with a little NFL conversation. Some former Buckeyes won some huge awards. How about Nick Bosa, Defensive Rookie of the Year? That's three out of the last four. And I don't know if you know this, but there's two really high draft picks projected defensive players going to the NFL in Chase Young and Jeff Okuda. Could they make it 4 of 5? That dominance is absurd. I don't know that it's ever been done. I'm not going to take the time to look it up. But three out of four of the best rookies coming out of college on defense were Buckeyes. That just goes to show you the development going on and recruiting going on at Ohio State. Also, Michael Thomas. Wow. I mean, my former player wins the NFL Offensive Player of the Year. Well-deserved, but you look at the people he won it over is astonishing. I mean, Pat Mahomes, Christian McCaffrey, and I mean, not to slight Mike at all. He had a ridiculous year, record-breaking year, and it goes to show you the character and type of person he is to get a $100 million contract and then go out and have his best year and win that award. Goes to show you he is satisfied at nothing. He will grind and work to get better. You think this year was crazy? Wait till next year. It's going to be nuts. So congratulations to those two. Those are the two guys that I knew that won awards, so I wanted to shout them out. Not that they needed me to do that, but I definitely wanted to bring it up because that's an awesome feat, an awesome accomplishment. All right, before we get to Braxton, I want to talk a little bit about the NFL draft coming up, because there's a myth out there, and I'm going to talk about the draft, talk about some of the players in it, and there's this. I hear this all the time. People talking about, oh, just look at the NFL draft and the three-star from Central Michigan that gets drafted. Man, the recruiting rankings are bullshit. They don't matter. And I want to start with that because right now there's projected 32 picks in the first round. Projected. There always is. And out of those 32 picks in projections, 24 of 32, 75% of the players projected to be selected in the first round, 75% were four- or five-star players. Keep in mind, there's thousands of three-star players. And I think on this list, there's only eight. So eight of thousands make it into the first round. Whereas 75% of this draft, projected draft class, are four and five stars. The likelihood that a five-star is a great player is so much higher. And I think that's obvious. But out of the top five, three of the top five are five stars. And then you look at like Joe Burrow was just a kind of an underrated guy coming out of Athens, Ohio. So he certainly wasn't going to be a five-star. He didn't have the publicity that some of these other places have. So make no mistake about it. Five stars are better in high school. And when I've talked about this before, about what it takes and the development process. And if you didn't check it out, I talked about the signing class, Ohio State's receiver signing class on the Scarlet and Great podcast with Johnny and Corey. I kind of popped in on their show. It's no secret. I mean, Ohio State signed four receivers that are in the top 100 in America. They are really, really, really good. And now if they get coached up and developed, like Ohio State has a great track record of doing, they're going to be these names you hear in the first round. They are. That's what happens. That's just how it works. I mean, look at the teams. LSU. Think about this. LSU has five projected first round picks. And then Grant Delpit, who, and everyone knows my feeling on him. He's not a great tackler, but he is a really good player. He's projected just outside of the first round, so who knows? He could slide in to the late first round. And if he does, they will tie the 2004 Miami Hurricanes for the most players selected in the first round at six. Now, one bone to pick with that. Oh, so Ohio State's record is five. They did it in 2006 and 2016. What pisses me off about the NFL is that year was a six first-rounder team. Just in that class. Michael Thomas was a second rounder that clearly now everyone can see should have been the sixth first rounder. Now I get it. There's probably stories like that for every team, but LSU has a chance. They're going to hit five. They're going to have five players drafted in the first round. Grant Delpit could be sixth. And who knows, like a guy like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, if he runs something ridiculous at the combine, he could slide up there. You're talking about five to seven players in the first round. Oh, I wonder why they won the national championship. And then just look at who else has multiple players in the first projected in the first round. Alabama 2, Ohio State 2, Clemson 2, Auburn 2, Georgia 2, Oklahoma 2. Do those teams sound familiar? I don't know. All the teams that were in it at the end of the year. If you have NFL talent, you're going to be successful in college. It's that simple. And it all goes back to recruiting. That's what it does. Now, the other thing, going to the SEC versus Big Ten debate, and everyone knows my feelings. I love Big Ten football. But the other schools outside of Ohio State need to step it up in recruiting and player development because they're not on the level of the SEC. Projected in the first round right now, the SEC has 15 of 32 players. Almost half of the draft are going to come from one conference. Half. The Big Ten has projected six. ACC, well, don't even say ACC. Clemson has three projected. The Pac-12 has three. The Big 12 has three. And then Conference USA and the Mountain West have one. Why do you think the SEC is playing dominant football? Because they're recruiting better, they're developing players better, and they're just more talented. It's no secret. And Ohio State is the only one holding up their end of the bargain right now in the Midwest. I mean, you could say Penn State, kinda. They're doing okay in recruiting and development. Not on Ohio State or Alabama or Clemson or LSU's level. You want the Big Ten to be relevant again? And to silence the SEC homers, you gotta produce. You gotta sign these classes. What? Look at the recruiting rankings. Ohio State is the only class that'll be in the top five year in, year out. I mean, you look at this draft class, 60% of this projected first round were top 100 players. And there's a shitload of players. I mean, there's four stars that are ranked in the 200s. 60% were in the top 100. So, Here's the other thing that no one talks about with the NFL draft. People say, oh, well, the 32 picks should be the 32 five stars, right? You have to keep in mind, this draft, every draft has players from three separate classes. You have juniors that leave early, fourth year seniors, and fifth year seniors. So you have three classes of people that are eligible to go in this draft. It's not just one class, it's three classes. So you're going to have fifth year guys that develop. You're going to have Justin Herberts, who are under the radar, but Oregon saw something in him. And he has a big arm, and he's mostly a projection. He's not a top 10 pick quarterback from what I've watched on film, but he has the arm talent. He has it all to be a first round quarterback. Then a guy like Justin Jefferson, who just didn't camp much. He was a kind of under the radar Louisiana kid that LSU obviously loved. So he goes to LSU, gets developed, boom, Biletnikoff, and here we go, first round draft pick. He's actually, how about this? Justin Jefferson's the lowest rated recruit projected in the first round. He was the 2,164th best player in America. I'd say a lot of people missed on him. LSU didn't, but a lot of other people did. It's just crazy people that want to sit and talk about the NFL draft. Like, it doesn't matter. Where are all the five stars? They're all busts. No. There are five-star busts. A lot of times there's a reason. It could be injury. It could be off-the-field issues. It could be maybe a little overrated. But the reality is, great players are identified really early. There are developmental guys. Michael Thomas is a great example. He wasn't a five-star, but he didn't show up on campus playing like a five-star either. He worked, and he got developed. So I just wanted to get that off my chest before we move on to Braxton Miller. But we're gonna take a quick break. But when we get back, we have Braxton Miller coming in studio. And I wanted to kind of preface before we brought him in and before we kind of got to our conversation with Braxton. I just wanted to talk a little bit about who Braxton Miller was to college football and Ohio State specifically, because he is Braxton is one of the most prolific offensive players I ever witnessed. And I say witnessed because I'm talking about when he was a quarterback. And obviously then I got the privilege to coach him when he moved to receivers, and he's one of the most gifted athletes I've ever coached. And I mean, I'm talking, he might be the most prolific athlete I've seen. You could put Percy Harvin in that category, maybe Zeke. I mean, you're talking about the top 1% of 1% of college football players. Braxton Miller, when he would step on the field, he was the best player on the field and the fastest player on the field. It didn't matter who you played. And that's how dynamic of an athlete he was. And what people don't remember about Braxton, which is surprising, is he was ridiculous throwing the football. I'll never forget, if you go back and watch it, we played Wisconsin in 2013 at home, and Braxton ran a naked to his left, and Evan Spencer ran a post route. Really, it was a clear out route. And so just kind of talking from the coach's perspective, Evan Spencer was running a route that was dead. It was not the quarterback never looks at it. You're not supposed to, because it's almost physically impossible to make that throw, especially going to your left. Think about it. If you're right-handed and you're running to your left, it's really hard to turn your shoulders and hips and throw the ball to a drag route, let alone a vertical route. And so it was not a route that was live. And Braxton rolled out to his left, flipped his shoulders because he saw Evan break the corner off and come wide open, flipped his shoulders and flicked the ball, I mean, on a strike for a touchdown. And I'll never forget it. I watched it. I said, holy shit. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's been five guys that ever played the game that can do what that kid just did. So he was a dynamic thrower, obviously a dynamic athlete. And so I'm not going to talk to Braxton about what normal interviews usually ask about his time at Ohio State. What's it like to be a great player? I want to talk about the menace perspective, right? What I always do, the behind the scenes insider accounts. I want to go beyond football and talk about the grind that it was, what happened after he hurt his shoulder. So anyways, we're going to get Braxton in the studio here in a minute. I just wanted to preface that, just kind of talk about who Braxton Miller was as a Buckeye and my experience with him, and also who he still is. And the other thing I think is important to mention, because a lot of people ask me, like, why hasn't Braxton caught on in the NFL more so? I mean, he hasn't retired. He's still, he's been on whatever, three or four teams in the last 4 or 5 years. And here's the thing about the NFL that people don't realize. It is so much of a business that you go to a bad organization and you might get cut or released even though you're one of the better players. And here's why. Let me explain it. So you think about this. And I don't know Braxton's exact situation. He'll talk about that someday when he's done playing, I'm sure. But if you go to a team, let's say it's not a great team, they're maybe struggling, and you get signed, and you outperform two of their players, God help you if they selected those two players. So many times the situation is this. They draft a kid, and then they bring in an unrestricted free agent. The free agent is better than the draft pick, but the GM, the coaching staff, they have a decision to make. Do they want to release their draft pick and keep their free agent, who's the better player, and then look like idiots for drafting that draft pick, or do they want to cut the free agent and just ride the draft pick out and then let people see that he wasn't as good, and then they don't, I guess people realize that it was a bust. That's what happens. Especially a coach that's on the hot seat, that coach is not going to risk his credibility with ownership by cutting a draft pick to keep a guy that was a free agent that might be a better player. That's why the NFL is so much about opportunity and situation and circumstances. I tell people all the time, Michael Thomas is one of the best pure receivers I've ever coached. He's obviously the best receiver in the NFL. Michael Thomas also got so lucky to fall in the draft and have the Saints draft him and him to play with Drew Brees in that strong organization. If he went to Cleveland, oh man, I would have been sick for him. Now he probably still would have been a great player. I'm not saying that, but it's all about situation. So anyways, I wanted to address that because a lot of people ask me about Braxton and about why hasn't he had the Michael Thomas career yet? He still could. But I wanted to just talk about the NFL for a minute. So anyways, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Braxton Miller in studio. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. If you could benefit from more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fast and easy way to enhance your performance. Blue Chew is prescribed online by licensed physicians, so you don't have to go to the doctor's office or wait in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And best of all, there's no more awkwardness. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when using our special promo code MENACE. Just pay $5 shipping and that's it. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code MENACE to try it free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. You really have nothing to lose. It's free. Might as well try it out. So hit them up. Check them out. BlueChew.com. Promo code MENACE. All right, welcome back, Menace to Sports. This is episode 80. Zach Smith, your host, I guess. I got a special guest in studio to give you a different perspective into a lot of things. Braxton Miller is joining us in studio. What's up, Brax?
What's up, y'all? What's going down?
Yeah, just hanging out, man.
Back in town.
Back in town, huh? It's always, I always get that text like, what do you got going? I need to get my body right.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. That's the first thing I think about is how to preserve my body.
You know what's crazy? Most athletes don't.
Yeah, I know.
How stupid is that?
It's tough, man, because, you know, I didn't learn it until I got to the NFL, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of house state here and there, iced up, little massages, but you ain't see the real massages until you get to the league.
Yeah.
Know? They get to the deep tissue areas, the pressure points, all that stuff with the needles, the cupping. I mean, it's just a whole nine thing that
it's a whole different level.
Yeah. So now I understand what it takes to take care of your body.
Yeah,
during the season, after the season,
you have to. That's everything.
Yeah.
Is your mind first, then your body.
Yeah, perfect. You know what I mean? So that's the thing.
For sure.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Well, I think what I wanted to ask you before we get into kind of what you got going on now. I know what I don't want to do is I don't care to talk about what most people will sit and talk about, which is like, oh, Braxton Miller won the silver football 2 times. What does that feel like? I'm good. You probably answered that question 50 times, right? But what I think people really would want to hear, and I think is a testament to what type of person and player you were, I want to talk about after your quarterback time at Ohio State, right? So you hurt your shoulder a second time, re-injured it in training camp before 2014. So coming off of 2014, you had a decision to make, right?
Big one, a big decision.
And so that decision was basically, do I want to risk injuring this shoulder again to throw a football, or am I, because I'm such a dynamic athlete, do I need to figure out another spot, right?
Yeah. So, you know, it took a whole year to understand that, you know, what I wanted to do with football again, because, you know, just thinking back about it, I had a slim chance to come back to play football, period, instead of coming back and playing quarterback.
So yeah, right.
I understand, like, do I got a chance to come back and still play football? Do I got to change my position? This and that. And, this, you know, just thinking about that, it's just about the regular daily life schedule of being a human being, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Plus, I got a son, too, so I got to take that in consideration. And
talk about that. Like, you talk about a difficult schedule.
Yeah,
being a student and an athlete, right? You put on top of that, you have a son. You put on top of that who you are, Braxton Miller, right? Talk to me about that daily schedule, bro.
Man, I can make a whole novel about this. This is crazy because, you know, sometimes I don't go to sleep till, like, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning. Now I got to get up at, you know, workouts at 6 o'clock in the morning. So we got to be there by 6, so I get up at 5. So for 4 hours of sleep, I'm going off of.
Yep.
Then go to school, you know, got to take classes. Then after that, sometimes I might get out early. I might leave class early to go get my son from school and then go take him to, you know, one of my parents' houses or a family member's house to, you know, babysit him until I get out of practice or whatever. But, you know, it's just crazy, man, because, you know, when I look back about it, I wasn't even thinking about stuff I'm thinking about right now. I just went with the flow and I was just living and whatever it took to be a parent, an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And be a full-time student. It was definitely tough, but, you know, it was a struggle that made me who I am today and understand that, you know, it all made sense.
Yeah.
What I done, what I went through and what I made.
Well, it builds who you are now, right?
Yeah. So.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, talk to me about that. So you and I have a very unique perspective. Probably Mike Thomas is the only other one that really knows anything that went on that summer before you played receiver. Right. Talk to me about that summer. What was it like? So first of all, here's what I really want to know, because you don't want anybody to know you were playing receiver.
No, not at all.
Nobody. You wanted to be a secret. Like a big reveal kind of, right?
Yeah, honestly. Yeah. That's what I want to do. I want to keep it under wraps. The people that I mess with closely that's around me, you know, on an everyday schedule, everyday thing, like you, Coach Meyer, and, you know, Mike, and my parents, my family, a little bit of my family, But yeah, man, you know, I just want to make the decision right for me first to understand, like, is this the right decision?
Yeah.
Can I even play receiver before I even tell people I'm switching to receivers?
Well, yeah, you want to find that out first, right?
Yeah, that's what I want to
Let me make
out.
Sure I'm
yeah.
going to be good at it
yeah.
before I try to tell people I'm going to do it.
Exactly. So I ain't want to look like a fool out there, like, yeah, I'm switching receiver, but I ain't got no clue to what I'm doing. So I just want to take the time and to make the decision right and learn from y'all. So, you know, you and Coach Meyer, y'all helped me tremendously, you know, and we kept a bond that, you know, we can't be broken. So I appreciate y'all because, you know, sometimes, like, we got workouts in the afternoon and if we don't get our workouts to, like, 4 or 5 or, you know, maybe 6, then I got to wait around till everybody leaves to even get a session in about receiver.
Yeah, no doubt. Because you don't want people to know. You can't do it
right
after the workout. Everyone's going to watch you transition into receiver.
Yep. So I wasn't even practicing as a quarterback. I was just working out, you know. So when they was throwing, I couldn't throw. I go in there and get some treatment on my shoulder or do some extra conditioning or something like that. But after everybody leave the facility, you know where I'm coming. I'm coming straight to your office. Like, let's go get it. Let's get it in.
A lot of late summer nights, huh?
A lot of late, man. So it'd be sometimes at night. You know, I might leave and go get my son and bring him back up there to, you know, hang around. And, you know, that's the thing that I was talking about, being a full-time dad and an athlete.
Yeah.
Full-time student, so... Had to go get him, come back. Then by the time, you know, sometimes on the weekends, it'd be like 12 o'clock at night. I'm like, dang, we still up here getting it in. But, you know, that's what it took.
That's what it took.
Because, you know, I had a dream of going back to the NFL, you know, but you got to play the cards that you was dealt, man. And I never doubted myself. I always believed in myself. And y'all believed in me, and, you know, more than I did myself sometimes mm-hmm. as a receiver. And y'all made me who I am at the receiver position. So it was definitely paid off, you know, all them late nights.
It definitely paid off. Yeah. I don't know if I've told this story before. I don't know if I've ever told you this story, but by far one of my top 5 moments as a coach, and I don't even know if you remember this, was on the field after Virginia Tech. You just did an interview, like you were getting like swarmed by media because you had just a ridiculous game. That was the spin move, B button, all that. Everybody wants to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
The play that they will show for 50 years about you, right?
Right, 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 right.
And so you had that coming out party, and it was like you were doing media. It was kind of overwhelming. And then I saw you, and I gave you a hug. You broke down crying, and I was like, holy shit. It was one of my top – it might be my top moment because I knew what you put in that summer.
Yeah.
I knew how emotional it was to not play while you were hurt. And for you to realize that and have that kind of coming out party, I was like, this is the coolest. This is why I do it right here.
Yeah. Dang, that's crazy. That was very emotional, man, because, you know, I prayed for a time like that. Like, you know, coming from a quarterback, playing quarterback all my life, you know, then switching to receiver in a matter of months. You know, we got to play in August. And coming, you know, just praying at night, man, just praying, you know what I'm saying, everything works out to the full potential. And for me to come out there and have one of the best games of my life, bro, it was...
It's one of the best games I've ever seen.
Yeah, so, you know, it ain't got no question. You know, I got, you know, all the prayers that I put in and, you know, worshiping my own self and, you know, God and making sure I believe in myself and making things work like that. I mean, I come out there and had that
I know it felt good, though.
Oh, yeah.
And even, like, before you did anything you did, I know it felt good just to go on the field. Oh, like, oh, yeah, it's time.
Oh, yeah, it was go time, man. I wouldn't let no remorse or nothing. You know, I let everything out on the field. Yeah. I didn't leave no regrets. No regrets at all.
The one thing that we always said about you is you get a night game with the lights on and a big atmosphere.
Oh, yeah.
Whoo, watch out.
Oh, yeah. It's game
and
time.
And then I was sitting there before the game. I remember Urban came up to me. He was like, how do you think he's going to do? I was like, coach, he hasn't played football in how long? The lights are on. Thursday night football, like the only game on TV. How's he going to play?
Was it Thursday or Monday?
It might have been Monday.
It is Monday.
It was a Monday.
Yeah.
I'm like, how's he going to play?
Yeah.
I was like, I'm just going to get my popcorn ready. What do you mean?
Yeah, I already knew what was up, man, because, you know, that game plan was crazy.
Crazy.
Because Mario wasn't, he wasn't letting up. He made sure I touched the ball 10 plus times.
Oh, that was his every week he'd come in on Sunday with like, all right, how do we get Braxton the ball at least 10 times?
Yeah.
Every week.
Yep, man. Thank you for him. Thank you for y'all, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That was the thing that made me, man. The first game of the season, they're like, wow, what's next?
You know
what I'm saying? So, yeah, it was surreal, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Definitely, we came out there. First catch, it was a diving catch, and I turned my shoulder, you know what I'm saying? you know what I'm saying? It's just like I've been doing it, but I haven't been doing
it. But it had to feel good on that first catch, the dive catch, hit the ground, kind of get up like, all right, I'm cool. Like, my shoulder's cool. Like, we're going to be good.
Yeah. So that's one thing I always thought about, like, my shoulder popping out of place again like it was. And like it did in camp, because that was one of the worst pains ever in my life. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, I blacked out. I can still, like, remember how I felt.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how you felt. Oh, boy.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. But yeah, that's always in the back of my mind, honestly.
Well, I will take credit for one thing in that Virginia Tech game. That little corner route you caught for a touchdown, that was my package. That was my baby. The little bunch, motion Zeke out into the flat, and you ran the corner, and nobody was in 20 yards of you.
Yeah, I know. I was like, the first time Cordell, he missed me, though.
I know, I remember.
I came out like, hey, man, I'm open, man. Hey, make sure you just throw it. Just throw it, man. I'm going to get it. You know what I'm saying? So that's what he did. You know what I'm saying? It came out to be a great play.
Well, yeah. The other thing I want to talk, like I said, I don't want to talk about what most people want to talk about. That's what's different about this show. That's what people like about this show. So I like to talk about behind the scenes stuff we just talked about. The other thing I love to talk about is you're one of the most unique players I ever coached in just kind of how you think, like how you, everything you do is calculated. You know what I mean? Like when you said you're going to move to receiver, most players, probably all players would just come in and say, I'm a receiver now. And that is what it is. No, not you. You were calculated, right? Yeah. And you're that way off the field too. You see this brand that you've built. You know the value that you provided to Ohio State, right?
Yep.
And so I just want to kind of talk about what you got going on, what you're up to. I know you're still playing. You've been on a couple teams in the last three or four teams in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And so you're not done playing, but just what else do you have going on? What are you trying to get accomplished here?
Yeah, I still play ball, and you know that thing. That's the thing, man. It don't last forever. So I got a son, and I want to dedicate. You know what I'm saying? Like, my life to him, other than, you know, dedicating my dream, because I'm still living the dream, but I've done what I had to do. You know what I'm saying? With football, I got to leave, and I'm still playing. But, you know, I'm forward thinking. You know, I'm just forward thinking about the future, and, you know what I'm saying, what I can provide, you know, with the platform I had, you know what I'm saying, with the name that I built and the brand that I built when I was in college with Charging and all that stuff. So the ladies and greatest, I mean, I got an esports company. It's down in Short North. We just changed locations. We was out behind the airport with a new built facility, but now we're downtown, so we can get more traction, more
nice,
more you know, scenery. You know what I mean? So we go out there. Used to go out there at the building like every day. But,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying. But now we changed locations. Now it's downtown in Short North. So it's a.
So what is it? What is it? Is it gaming? It's like
yeah.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah, it's a platform. So it's a platform for gamers, number gamers. It's pretty much like LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, all put together just for gamers.
It's a huge market.
Yeah, it's huge. It's crazy. It's blowing up. It's catching fire.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, so.
I know you know it because you have a son and I got a 10-year-old son. Yeah. And boy, gaming is like, it's the.
Everybody.
Everybody.
You know, so why not have ownership in a gaming company?
No doubt.
That's a startup.
That's awesome.
Out here in Columbus. And,
what I know you're really passionate. Not only because of your son, but obviously that's a huge draw to it. Talk to me about just stuff you're doing for kids, what you have done, what you want to do, kind of what you're thinking.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I've been doing camps for the past 4 years, 5 years now. And thinking about going to the next level now, starting an organization with charging and having like a flag league, a basketball league for the kids, you know, in the Dayton area, Columbus area.
Yep.
Having that and, you know, have a all-around sports organization that kids can learn from, you know, people that have been doing it all their life and learn from the best, you know what I'm saying? So that's the thing that I'm working on right now is having an organization, getting that stuff started.
Just to give back, right?
Yeah, give back. And,
no doubt.
You know what I'm saying? That's what my passion is anyway because, you know, I started charging when I injured my shoulder, so I wanted to leave a legacy and have something that I can tie my name to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Each and every year. So that's what I came up with that. And I mean, it paid a lot of dividends, you know what I'm saying? Because it took a long time to even get the brand going. But now where it's at right now, it's time to take the next leap. The next level.
I'll tell you this, and I'll be at your next one. There's no doubt. Because what I've seen from them, the camps, is they seem like they're very different than any other camp. You're talking about not only is it, it's going to be knowledgeable people that are helping instruct and teach kids the game, but it's like an experience, isn't it?
Oh, it's a whole experience.
It's not just a camp. It's almost, you almost do it a disservice calling it a camp.
Yeah. That,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like an experience.
Yeah. It's a lot of sponsors. Sometimes I got to turn down sponsors because, you know, I want the right ones there.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have the right experience because, you know, some of the things I have, some of my own companies, like the Play Impossible, that's, I got ownership in that. And I bring it out there for the kids to understand what it does. It's in all Apple stores across the nation, all the world. You know what
I'm
saying?
That's awesome. So,
yeah. One of the best selling, the product, technology product, mm-hmm. CES, like 2 years ago. So mm-hmm. I had to add my camps all the time. You know, people starting out to catch fire about it. But it's a whole experience.
It's not just do some drills.
Nah.
I mean, you're talking about DJs. You got it all out there.
Yeah, I have local companies coming. That's the thing with me. I want local companies to come in and have an opportunity to put their brand out there and be involved with me and, you know, get some eyeballs on what they got going on, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the way to do it. Like I said, you operate a little different than most most people, which is awesome.
Yeah.
What you need to do is you need to check out, you need to come to this tailgate at the spring game.
Yeah, man, you just tell her about that. You know what
I'm
mean?
Just telling you. Talk about networking, local, Columbus. Yeah. It's the takeover. You need to come check it out.
He was talking about that. So I think now, you know, that'd be a good opportunity for us to come together as one and put together a game plan and have a tailgate each and every game. You know what I'm saying? Like home and away.
That's it. Home and away.
Find the right location and find the right details about everything and, you know, put a nice experience for the fans to come in to meet, you know, former players and have a great time before the game and, you know, sometime maybe after the game. You know
what right. So whatever.
Had the best food, had all that. You know what I mean? So it's time to have.
Do it right.
Do it right. Yeah.
That's what I keep saying. If you're going to do it right.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, you know, we need to talk about that. Here's what I do want, though. For the listeners to this show, if you want Braxton to be a part of it, you want him to come out and kick it with y'all, I want you to reach out on social media, tag Braxton, tag me, tag the show, and let us know that that's what you want. Try to get this buzz going a little bit.
All that. Charging. You know what I'm saying? Bring
you got to tag Charging. Got to tag Charging.
Braxton, you know my Instagram name. Twitter name. This is my full name.
It's not hard to find you on social media.
Funny, man.
You type in BR and that shit pops up. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, in the Columbus area, for sure.
For sure.
Ohio area. Yeah, definitely.
Well, before I let you go, I have to do this. I've done it with everyone that comes on the show, and I forgot to mention it before the show, so you're going to have to shoot from the hip. All right? I call it the Menace Minute, right? It's five questions, and you can't even think about it. You just got to spit out the first answer you got, all right?
All right, it's on.
Best player you ever played with?
The best player I ever played with?
Any level, best player.
Any level of best player. I say DeAndre Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins?
Yeah, yeah.
He's the real deal, huh?
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, tell me this. And you were an Ohio State guy, but if not Ohio State, where would Braxton Miller have played?
Not Ohio State?
If Ohio State was off the table, you got to pick somewhere else. Where were you going?
I probably went to the West Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mom from out there. So
oh, that's what's up?
Yeah, probably West Coast.
I could see that.
Yeah, USC or something.
Yep, yeah, for sure.
Big time.
All right, next one. This is my favorite question I ever ask. And I'm going to tell you who other people said after you answer it. If you were in practice and a riot broke out, big team fight, who's the last player you'd want to square up with?
Hold on. Say that again.
If you're in practice and a big fight breaks out,
yeah,
who's the last player you want to square up with?
When I was playing?
Yeah.
Ohio State?
Yeah, any player. The last one you look over, you're like, oh, shit, I don't want to fight this dude.
Johnny Simon, man, he crazy.
Crazy.
Johnny don't care. He go out there with a broken arm and still play the whole game. And tell you after the game, like, yeah, I played with a broken arm. You
know, yeah, I broke my arm. I didn't want to tell anyone.
Yeah, it is. I'm with you. Yeah, he won't even tell you that he hurt. You know what I mean? So yeah, I'd probably say Johnny. Johnny's a dog.
He's a dog.
Yeah.
And you know the thing about, I think Joshua Perry brought him up too, is like John Simon, even if you're winning the fight, like you'll never win it.
Oh,
like
no.
He's not gonna stop ever.
He's not.
He's gonna win it eventually. Like you're eventually gonna get tired, and like he's gonna win the fight.
Yeah, like a wild animal. They ain't gonna stop.
No, right? Like a wild animal. That's a fact.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the next one. Now you played with one. You probably watched one this year. I got three players for you. Who's better? Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa, Chase Young.
Come on, man. Now you playing? I ain't answering that question. They all my people. I ain't answering that.
They all tied, huh?
Yeah, 99, 99, 99.
Right. They all Madden. Yeah. All 99 overall, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, Brax. Always a pleasure, man. And look out for the stuff Braxton has going on. If you have kids, definitely check out the Charging Flag Football Leagues. There's going to be he mentioned a travel football team, basketball leagues. Yeah. And then definitely his camp. His camp is like I said, from what I've seen, it's an experience. It's not just a football camp. So definitely check that out. And then be ready for the tailgates, the events this fall.
Oh, yeah. For all the kids out there, check out eFuse.
eFuse.
Yeah, it's on Instagram. It's all on platforms. But, yeah, that's the esports company. It's catching wind fire, so everything's popping.
Definitely. eFuse, check it out. Appreciate it, bro.
Oh, yeah. Much love.
All right. I want to thank Braxton for coming in studio, man. Just an awesome, awesome dude. I mean, just next level thinker, and everything he does is with a purpose. You know what I mean? He wants to start these youth leagues to give back to kids. He wants to, you know, start an he wants to join our tailgate to start an epicenter on campus to really interact with fans. He just loves the fact that he is a Buckeye, was a great player, and just wants to give back just big time. But I appreciate Braxton coming in studio, of course. Like I mentioned to you two episodes ago, the guest list on this show the next month or two are going to be big time. I mean, awesome. Former players, and like I said, not just Buckeyes. We've got a couple coming down the wire here that are national names from other schools, just trying to give you a different perspective into college football and into football, into NFL football, into the game of football. We're going to talk to some high school coaches, some NFL executives. We're going to talk to some, you know, great players that are now involved in life after football, some NFL players that are currently playing, just really trying to give you a different perspective, right? Menace to sports. We're trying to change sports media. And I think the way to do that is to ask the right questions and get the story behind these players and behind these great icons of college football or of NFL football. So really appreciate Braxton coming on. We'll have to have him back for sure, especially as the spring game gets closer. We're going to have to really talk about details. What all is going to go on? It's an experience, not an event, right? That's what we're doing. These tailgates are going to be an experience, not an event. So thank you to him for coming out. And like I mentioned before the show, if you're interested in anything, partnership, if you want to contribute to this platform, advertising, certainly sponsorships, reach out, Zach, Z-A-C-H, at menace2sports, menace2.com. Check out our new website next week, menace2sports.com. It's going to be awesome. Written content, really going to try to crank this thing up and get ready. Oh, if you're not subscribing, check out Patreon. I'm telling you, we just finished our video setup. So it's done. Starting hopefully Thursday. If not, it'll definitely be running next week. We'll have video content coming to Patreon subscribers. We'll give you some highlights to the regular public to see what Patreon's getting. And doing giveaways, doing all kinds of stuff. Early release shows when we can, depending on guest appearance schedules. So anyways, check it out. Patreon.com/Menace2Society Podcast. And I still got to change that name, but that's what it is. So appreciate the support. You support us so we can keep this thing going. But thank you to Braxton, and thank you to you all for listening. Please, please get the social media pub going. Show Braxton that you want him at the tailgate. And we will catch you on Thursday. Thank you for listening. Hope you were entertained. Hope you were educated. Hope you, enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed it. And if you didn't, as we say, go fuck yourself, San Diego.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
Or do you do what everybody else in media does, just create some shit and throw it on the wall and see what sticks, which is what I see happening everywhere.
Where are we at in society today? I'm a man. I'm 40.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my ass.